Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat,
From the paleo diet to parenting, from cross training to Cabernets, from the NFL and NHL to MLB and MLS, from the NBA and PGA to the PBA, it's Any Topic, Anytime on the show with Ted Raimi.
We are now joined on the Ring Central guest line by our sports business and legal insider. You can find her work at Huffington Post, CNBC, RulingSports.com, and of course she is a professor at the University of Miami. The one and only Alicia Jessup joins us now. Alicia, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Very good to have you on, as always. Let me start off by asking you this, Alicia. In your time in working with the NFL and the NBA, and you know, being as those are two giant entities in terms of working with different corporations, what does it take other than the Donald Sterling situation to get sponsors to seriously back away from a product? Like, I remember with Ray Rice, I think Marriott started telling the NFL, hey, we don't like how you're handling this situation, but they didn't actually pull. Whereas Donald Sterling and the Clippers, I think many sponsors actually demanded, at least temporarily, to have their signs taken down from the Staples Center for the upcoming games with the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors. So, I mean, have you gleaned a greater understanding of where that dividing line is?
You know, I think the biggest dividing line is when the public makes a strong outcry, because we also saw CoverGirl, the makeup company, come out and threaten potentially pulling their sponsorship dollars from the NFL after the Ray Rice scandal. But perhaps a bigger example these days is FIFA. We've seen a number of FIFA's main sponsors drop their sponsorship of the soccer governing body after its scandal, allegedly bribery and basically the corruption of its leaders. So there's not a cookie cutter answer for what it takes for a sponsor to drop their sponsorship or partnership with a league. But I think the thing that you're getting to, though, is just that the power that sports has to guide our discussions and the way that our society makes decisions. If your listeners are into TED Talks, one of my favorite TED Talks is by this guy named Richard Lapchick, and he is a professor at the University of Central Florida. His father was actually the coach of the Knicks for a while, and his father was instrumental in the Knicks drafting Dr. J. And because of that, his family faced a lot of calls from racist people challenging that decision. And Dr. Lapchick, the son of the coach, he's really been at the forefront of race relations in sports. He actually sat next to Nelson Mandela in the soccer match that took place after the apartheid was over. And this TED Talk is awesome because he talks about the power that sports has, unlike anything else in society, really, to drive conversation about hard topics. You know, we saw when Magic Johnson announced that he had AIDS, our country really started to take the AIDS epidemic seriously instead of just thinking that it was something limited to homosexuals and intravenous drug users. So I think what you're getting at, Ted, is something bigger. What has to happen in order for our movers and shakers in sports, our decision makers, if you will, to make a decision that maybe the rest of society will fall lockstep in with?
Yeah, I mean, you just see all these different issues that are, of course, you know, broached by sports on such a consistent basis. And I just wonder, when I look at everything we've heard today with the expanded reporting upon everything that went with Spygate, I mean, when a league has this much cheating around it, or at least what we saw with the Patriots, at what point does a fan base say, hey, what you're presenting isn't real? And if a fan base starts to pull, how quickly do these corporations, these different sponsorship entities respond in turn? That's why I think it's interesting to see that, you know, we responded, the NFL had sponsors, look at the Ray Rice instance, but you know, there was not a strong reaction in terms of sponsorship discussion with everything that centered around League of Denial and that share of information in that book and everything we found out about the NFL kind of downplaying the long-term impact of head injuries. And it just, I think it's interesting. Like you said, there is no cookie cutter format, just to say the different things that fan bases and in turn corporations and, you know, sponsorships will say, hey, we can't go this route anymore.
Well, and I think one of the important conversations that does happen within the sponsorship sphere. So if I'm Marriott, if I'm CoverGirl, I have to realize who my consumer is, and I have to make sure that the messaging that's coming through whatever my partner is doing steps in line with my consumer. And so I think the reason why you don't see as much outrage from sponsors over things like League of Denial or Deflategate or Spygate, unless they're Broncos fans like I am, but the reason why you don't see as much outrage is in large numbers, the general public is not impacted by the Deflategate scandal. In large numbers, most people in the general public are not going to sustain a concussion while playing football. But if we look at the alternative things that we do see sponsors reacting to, racism, that's something that a large number of our population could be impacted by. Domestic violence, a large number of women and men in our country, unfortunately, are impacted by domestic violence. And so I think you see the trend there of corporations saying, look, the things that are happening within this league that impact a broad base of our consumers, we need to step up and make a statement and take action on those things. Tom Brady can keep deflating footballs, allegedly.
Allegedly, of course. Again, we're talking to Alicia Jessup right now here on the Ring Central guest line. See, now that's interesting, because I hadn't thought of it in that issue in terms of what the general populace is going to be feeling they could, you know, be subject to as well. And when that, you know, when we view that in the microcosm of sports, we see this, we also see it in the macro at the same time, which is why I think that people had such a, you know, just a guttural reaction to everything with Donald Sterling. Same thing with the sponsors. And I'm not saying that the sponsors are so heartless to just say, oh, wait, the people are pulling out, now it's time for us. But no, it seems like the sponsors are usually pretty lockstep in terms of who their consumers would be, and they don't need to suddenly consult their audience to say, hey, we have to pull back from this. But it is, I mean, it is interesting to think of that idea that not only do sports give you a pretty accurate representation of maybe how people respond to different social subjects, but also I would imagine that now in looking, you know, all sorts of corporations that are potentially getting in on sponsorship, they probably look to, you know, things like fantasy football or who's tweeting and who's Facebooking and who's Instagramming about what and who's using what, you know, sports teams hashtags to actually do market research via the companies or the franchises or the different televised broadcasts that they're making themselves a part of.
That's a huge part of the value of partnering with either a league, a team, or even an athlete. I'm going to have a story running about Annika Sorenstam on Huffington Post later this week and her business endeavors after leaving the game of golf as a professional. And one thing that her team sent over to me ahead of the interview was essentially her marketing deck. And this is what they send to potential sponsors just to show the reach and the leverage that she has and what a potential sponsor could gain by partnering with Annika. So it talks about everything from her social media followers to what kind of impressions her websites get per month, what type of other brand she partners with, her visibility. And so those type of things are very critical to a corporation's decision to partner with, again, a league, a team, or a player. So that social media, player, league, or team's visibility, the positive press, their brand perception, those are all very critical things in signing a partnership.
So what do you think a company like Subway is doing right now after they initially found themselves with Robert Griffin III and are saying to themselves, okay, now only is he's not a starting quarterback, and I imagine they found themselves in a lucrative...
Subway has a lot bigger issues than RG3 right now. I'm pretty sure in terms of issues Subway is sweating over, that RG3 not starting is close to the bottom of that list.
Well, no, but I understand the point, but just the idea of a company signing with a deal with a player who suddenly falls out of public favor or just the team favor. I mean, are they do they keep on, you know, putting that athlete in commercials? I mean, it doesn't have to be Subway, but any any company that invests in an athlete who, you know, suddenly is not the fan favorite that they were. I realize Subway probably not the best example, but RG, yeah. Any company that invested in RG3, I guess you could put it that way.